Everyone, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord, we have assembled together. By thy grace and thy love, thou hast given us another day, a day in which we can assemble around thy holy word. As we open thy living word, O Lord, we pause to call upon thee that thou would be the one that will enter into our hearts, O Lord, to take away all the cares and the things for this life that so often distract us. And we pray, O Lord, that this morning and this day that our thoughts would be centered on thee, for therein is life. And we pray, O Lord, that the words that we would hear would come from thee, that thou alone would be our teacher, that would feel thy presence and the power of thy love. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear ones, for this morning's reading and meditation, I desire to read from the Epistle of Jude. The Epistle of Jude. Ljubazni želim da se pročita iz poslanice Juda. Nama svima za nauku. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even the Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally is brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of thee, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Dear ones, the chapter or the book that is before us is a chapter that is one that should never be taken as a chapter that we could now look at and have our thoughts wander and see who this is applicable to, whether it be other denominations, whether it be in our own denomination or in our own church even. But one thing we do have to realize is this epistle is written to a church. It's written to a body of believers. And so, dear ones, let us prayerfully consider the words of the Holy Spirit through the pen of Jude, who did not have an intention of writing this epistle that he wrote. He intended to write an epistle about the common salvation. He was going to write about Jesus Christ, salvation through his blood, his love, what he has done for you, my dear friend, for us, dear brothers and dear sisters. He thought it was important to write about Jesus Christ and the common salvation that is found only through him. However, it says that the Holy Spirit interrupted him, and he gave him a different direction, a direction that needs to startle each one of us, whether we are in Christ or out, whether we are young with life in the fullness of life and the fantasy of life looking forward in front of us, or whether we are on the tail end of life with a memory of it that has passed away. It's a scripture that, in a warning, and that we all need to consider, because in this chapter are some things that are written that take us back. It takes us back to Scripture, takes us back to the Old Testament, takes us to the words of Christ, takes us to the inspired Word of God that all of us, dear ones, need to go back to continually. And he says here that he was going to write about the common salvation, but instead, he said, but it was needful for me to write to you and exhort you. A word of exhortation is not just, well, I recommend this, or I recommend. This is an exhortation. This is a whole heart thought that comes, that he says here that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, what is the view of, what does this verse mean to us? Contending for a faith earnestly, for faith is once delivered to the saints. You know, we could probably take this into many different forms. We could have a a works-based salvation that points to, look, do this, and do this. And if you don't do this, you're no good, and so on. But what was delivered to the saints is something that Jesus Christ delivered. It's something that Jesus Christ taught. It's something that Jesus Christ lived. To earnestly contend for the faith, dear ones, would mean that we would have what Jesus calls all mankind to love the Lord, to love Him with all your mind, heart, and soul, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's the only thing that is worth contending earnestly for. Because in that love, dear ones, this chapter will have no condemnation over us. We will not be under any condemnation. The words and the terror that is spoken of in this chapter passes over us. Why? Because we are under the blood of the Lamb. Just as in the Old Testament, it tells us, even later on in this chapter, it tells us of those who, he said, well, put in your remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt. Okay, who is he speaking here about? Those, he says, who he saved. The angel of death passed over the Israelites because of the blood of the Lamb over the doorpost. These are a saved people under the blood who passed and were wandering into the through the wilderness over to the Canaan, the promised land. So a saved people was, he says, he destroyed them. Why? They didn't believe. Can it be possible, brothers and sisters, for us to be sitting here under the blood, saved, and we don't believe? I can't ask that question to you, to tell you, you fit this. But I can ask myself, is this me? As it was Israel, who were destroyed. We know that they refused to enter into Canaan. They were brought to that point by God. They saw His miracles that He performed for them throughout their journey in the wilderness. And they were at the border of Canaan, and they refused to enter in. Why? Because of the giants that are in Canaan. They didn't believe. Is there something in our life, a giant, in our walk of faith that hinders me from believing? And so I rely then upon my own. They relied upon their own wisdom. We dare not go in there or we will be consumed. And so doesn't a lack of faith in Jesus Christ prohibit us from doing everything? Because, whoa, that's dangerous for me. It's dangerous to name the name of Christ. In this instance, what will it avail? It's time for self-preservation. And so we could easily, dear ones, as it happened then, it can happen today to His church, that we don't believe. It talks about angels who kept not their first estate. They left their own habitation. He reserved them in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. There was, we know that Satan, if we could say it, he wrestled away the dominion that Adam was given over the earth. That was given to Adam to take care of. It was his. And Satan came. Look how early he came. In the garden where man was in communion with his creator, who came into the garden and visited with him. How was he deceived? I know we could oftentimes just look at various things that took place in scriptures of miracles and things to say, surely my faith would be increased if I lived through this moment or this time, if I saw this. Well, look at the Israelites. Let's just look at what happened. The angel of death took every firstborn, but not theirs. They crossed the Red Sea, but not the Egyptians. What more do they need to see? But they didn't believe. Oh, they believed that there was a God. Oh, you and I believe there is a God. We believe that Jesus died for us. But do we have the faith that whatever he takes me to, as he took the children of Israel to the Red Sea, that he would also take them through it? But they get to the land of Canaan, and there's giants. There's giants there. What brought about that lack of faith? That they couldn't believe that God, who had brought them to this point, would not take them into the promised land. Dear ones, what are the things in our life that we don't trust God in? You know what it is? It's always about self. We don't trust God with many things because we know he's going to take those things away from us. Just like Adam and Eve, they didn't believe that God wanted the best for them because he took away from them something that they saw was good for them. They saw that it was good. They wanted that. Why am I unable to take from that? What is it in our life today that we say, why is God taking this away from me? It gives me such a good feeling. It makes me happy. Is that a possession? Is it a drug? Is it a lustful feeling? Is it something that brings me a euphoric moment that I want? I don't trust God with that because he's going to take it away from me. Just like Adam and Eve. He took it away from them. But he only takes away those things from us that will destroy us. And so by not allowing myself to give those things to God, let him take those things out of my life, I hang on to them, and I'll make an excuse for everything. I'll make an excuse. I'll make an excuse for my upbringing. I'll blame my parents. I'll blame siblings. I'll blame the church. I'll blame my foray into the world before, whatever it is. I'll blame something or someone. And so, dear ones, these angels rebelled. Imagine them in the presence of holiness. But then we look at Adam and Eve in the presence of holiness. They did the same thing. They rebelled. How could an angel who's created perfect rebel? When he's in the presence of a holy God, singing his praises, and suddenly be lifted up with pride that he wants to be the object of the adoration of the angels. And then the angels rebel with him. And so he gives them dominion over the land. And the evil spirits are throughout the world. They're doing their deed. They're casting doubt into your mind, into my mind. They're casting doubt, casting fear. The world today is completely given over unto lusts, pride, fear, lies. Completely given over. There's nothing, dear ones, that is holding back anymore. What is holding back the arm of God from ushering in that which we know, where it talks of Michael here as being the archangel, and it says the voice of the archangel will be heard. Michael's voice will be heard. The shout of Jesus Christ will be heard. The sound of a trump will be heard. What is holding that back right now? What fulfillment needs to take place for us to say the judgment of the great day is here? Why? Why is God going to wait until your lifetime, my young man, my young lady here? Why does he, just because you're 20, why do you feel that you're entitled to live to be 90? Like maybe your parents had, or grandparents. You for sure think that you're going to grow through adulthood and into midlife and so on. It's a plan that you are living for. You're making decisions right now. What will you do career-wise, so on? And you put a lot of effort into those things. Because it's usually a lifetime work. And much effort is given into those things. But you don't know if you're going to live tomorrow. But you know that there's going to be a great judgment day. You believe that or you wouldn't be here. How much effort, how much thought is given into standing before a holy God who has sent Jesus Christ to live, to die for me, and to show me a way? How much effort is given? The effort that is typically given tomorrow, for sure. Tomorrow. And yeah, you might not say tomorrow, but you might say, okay, after this passes, then. Or after this passes, then. And the then just keeps pushing back. And suddenly, you're in the middle of your life. And more often than not, you're entrenched deep. You're deeply entrenched in this life. A life that you find no way out of. The day that you thought was going to come tomorrow never comes. You don't have the grace because you keep forsaking him. So what is it? Did God forsake you? No, you've forsaken him. And when you forsake him, he's out of your life. And the day marches on until he says enough. We look back in Scripture and we find as this, it talks here of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. We find where they were completely had given themselves over unto fornication and going after strange flesh. What is that? What is unclear about that time to today's, when the world is completely given over unto fornication and pornography and divorce and all the things, dear ones, that God has prohibited? Completely given over to that. As a matter of fact, if you say that those things are evil, you are mocked. So the Word of God, the Word of God has completely been taken out. And you know what? It's been taken out of many churches. And you might say, well, how can you say that? Well, there are many churches that have no problem with divorce. There are many churches that have no problem with same-sex marriages, things like that. No issues with it. Yet they preach Christ. How? Isn't that what Jesus warned us about? Can you go? Does he? Does Jesus or any of the apostles ever urge us to go into circles where his word is not loved, spoken of? Exhortations are made through his word and his word alone, not my thoughts, but the word alone. No, we are exhorted to beware. Beware. Why? Because the heart of man is deceitfully wicked. The heart of man can be so easily deceived, as he was in the garden, as he was in the wilderness. We might say, well, that's a long time ago. Let's look at the early church. Ananias and Sapphira were believers. He saved them out of the land. Later, he destroyed them. He saved Ananias and Sapphira. They heard the word. They heard it. They loved the Lord. They were baptized. They were a part of the church. And they died with a lie on their lips. Why? What caused their unbelief? That was pure unbelief. Unbelief that God would take care of their needs. And so they kept back the price of the land and thought it a small thing to say that they gave it all. It's a small matter. What's a few bucks? It was a small matter. And Peter immediately pronounced a sentence of death upon them. They died with a lie. What caused the unbelief? Because that alone is what caused them to lie. Dear ones, we lie when we want to puff ourselves up, when we want to destroy someone, when we want to make an ungodly gain, whatever the lies come from none other than the, Jesus says, the father of lies, which he tells the Pharisees that he's your father. Pharisees who claimed that God was their father. Pharisees who lived a very religious life, just like Cain. Cain's sacrifice was not acceptable. God wouldn't accept his sacrifice. So this is a man who was sacrificing to God an unworthy sacrifice. Nonetheless, he was sacrificing to God. He slew his own brother. How? God is in his mind. God, he's doing this for God in a very haphazardly way. And he kills his own brother. He didn't believe in God. He thought that there was another way in which he could please the Lord through a sacrifice that God would not accept. Brothers and sisters, do we ever offer a sacrifice that we think God should accept this sacrifice from me right now? For sure he's going to accept it. Cain thought that too. But it revealed what was in him. It revealed what was in him. Dear ones, does the word show us what is inside of us? Only if we do what Apostle Paul says as he exhorts, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The faith that is worth contending for earnestly. A faith that is contended for is not a faith that bickers amongst one another. That's not a faith. That's not a contention for a faith. Contention for a faith is the way of Jesus. The way of purity, love, meekness, gentleness, kindness. It suffers long. It's kind. It does not envy. It does not vaunt itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave unseemly. It doesn't seek her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Rejoiceth only in the truth. That's contending for the faith when I rejoice in the truth. When I'm not provoked. When was Jesus provoked? When would it have been enough for him? That's enough. Love is not provoked. Cannot be provoked. It bears all things. Jesus bore the shame, the scoffing, the scourging, the spitting, the slapping, the taunting. He was not provoked. No love lifted him up. For you, my dear friends, and for you and I, my dear brothers and sisters, love that wasn't provoked, that bore all things. And it's that love that he calls us to. Because, dear ones, it's the only way that we can have faith. A faith that saves us will take us to that love. Human love can't touch this love. Human love cannot touch this love. Cannot be even compared to it, though it's beautiful. Human love is beautiful. But it's so temporary. It's so fleeting. It's so fleeting. Divorces happen. Those who claim they're in love are no longer there. Brothers and sisters are separated. They don't longer talk to each other. How many times I see at work, I ask about a parent or someone, oh, I haven't talked to them in years. That's human love. It's based upon events, feelings, emotions. It teeters and totters like that. But no, God's love doesn't change. Doesn't change when he's taunted on the cross. Doesn't change when he's spit upon. And he has the power to call the angels. But that's not power. The power was in loving them and saying, forgive them. They don't know what they do. And here we are encouraged, dear ones. My time is way up. I didn't even go to this, but he says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Again, this is faith. You build upon your trust in God. That's what will bring me to love him. And that's what gives me the hope. Faith and hope and charity. The greatest of these is what? Charity. He says, keep yourselves what? Where? In the love of God. Keep yourselves in the power of his love is what Jude is writing here. Keep yourselves in the power of his love. Praying. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. The brother prayed, we have been forgiven so much, and that we should also be forgiving. He says, if you're looking for the mercy, if you're looking for mercy, I am. And I know you are too. But if I'm looking for it, I have to extend it. Because that's what love is. Love forgets the evil that is done. Truth is my delight. That's keeping myself in the love of God. It talked of Enoch, who it tells us here something that and he, as he spoke of, or we can see of Enoch. When we think of Enoch, it tells us that he was translated, that he was taken. He was taken at a relatively young age. So when we think about he, it tells us of him the testimony that God has of Enoch, is that he walked with God. That was the testimony. He walked with God. That's what he gave, the Spirit of God gave Paul to write. He walked with God. And he was not. And he could not be seen. Which means he was looked for. So we think of Enoch, who was walking with God. Why did God take him at such a young age of 300 some years old? Young because at that time they lived to be 1,000. So it's a third of his life, and he was taken. He was prophesying. He was preaching. He was teaching, calling people unto salvation. And God took him. Dear ones, we don't know when our work will be done. We don't know when Jesus will send his angel to take us home. And you know what? There will be someone else to take our spot. There's no man that should ever be looked upon as the end all for everything, for my faith, for everything. Man is just an instrument of God when he keeps himself in the love of God, building himself up on that faith that Jesus will take care of everything. And so, dear ones, time keeps marching on. Thousands of years have passed. Will there be another 2,000 years? Will there be another 10,000 years? Or will there be just today? Enoch was gone. Ananias, in his sin, and Sapphira were gone. When will our number be called? And are we going to be found ready? Are we going to be found ready? It talks here so much about murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouths speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Looking to be admired by someone else. And those are all prideful things. The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, everything is in there. Everything. Every sin is there. And it's all centered around me. It's about me. This flesh. So when this flesh is looked to bring comfort to, looked to for anything, I've taken my eyes off of God and I will be deceived. Just as Eve was deceived, just as Cain was deceived, just as Ananias and Sapphira were deceived. In the scripture, the landscape in scripture, we look through it, we see many, many who were deceived. And dear ones, is there anyone sitting here today? Is the question that is deceived. Or that will be found to have been deceived. And we look back, all of those men were in the presence of truth, but they didn't love it. They didn't love it. And when we don't love the truth, we stand to be deceived. And we're deceived. We have just this to look forward to, of a judgment day for those that don't know Him and don't love Him. And so Jude gives us a benediction. He says, unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. No, it's not you or me. We can't keep ourselves from falling. Only my faith in Him. My faith in Him which causes me to love Him. Why? Because I believe His word. I believe with all my heart what He says is true. And in Him is all power. And so when I believe in Him, I will love Him as He commands me to. And then in that love for Him, sin falls away. Falls away. No, I don't have to struggle. Oh, I'm going to try to not to do this today. Oh, I'm going to try. You can try and try and try. If you don't have faith in Him, it won't fall away. It exposes, dear ones, sin exposes my lack of faith in Him. And it tells us that faith alone will save us. Because that faith creates a new man. And so unto Him that is able to keep you from falling. And to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. I can't imagine standing before my Lord. And it says here, I will be presented faultless before Him. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Jude was sharing an exhortation, and we've shared that in exhortation as well today, in that there were those that fell away, that did not believe, did not have the faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were encouraged to keep our faith in Him. And I'd like to just simply conclude with two of the verses toward the end here. But ye, in contrast to those who have lost their way, ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith. A holy faith, a faith that believes in God and in His omnipotence and that loves Him with all of their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their neighbor as their self. Praying in the Holy Ghost, the importance of prayer and being in tune with the Holy Spirit as we would pray. Keep ourselves, all of us, keep ourselves in the love of God, in His love, and how much He loves us, and that we would look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. What a beautiful thing that is, to experience the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ and have eternal life. May God bless His word upon our hearts. Amen.